This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
This episode of the KMP Show is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. Guys, you don't need to choose between price and quality to get an amazing and affordable shave. DollarShaveClub.com's the answer. To prove how amazing their shave really is, right now they are going to give you your first month free to join the club. Here's your chance to see why over 3 million members, like me, love Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club is so confident in the quality of all their products, now you can get your first month of the club for free. Just pay shipping. After that, it's just a few bucks a month. No long-term commitment, no hidden fees. There's no reason not to do it. Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/voices. That's dollarshaveclub.com/voices. Ooh, a little live read to start the show.
Yeah.
I like it. Got a little bit of stumble there. Welcome to the KMP Show.
That's how you know it's authentic, though, right?
Right. Yes, that's how you know we didn't edit it. I'm probably going to re-record it and throw it on at the beginning.
So all this is new. All this that we're talking now is just worthless.
Yeah, they're not going to hear it. No, okay. No, they will. All right. So welcome to the KMP Show, everybody. Episode number 28. Welcome back. I'm your host, John Playtech, and with me, as always, is Mr. Rich Kreich. Hello, sir.
Hello.
This may be the last episode of the KMP Show because I may have to go do radio. I'm just kidding. But just wanted to throw that bit in there.
The joke is that we're going to be the station's going to make us change our name, of course.
Right.
After.
Yeah. Well, I was looking up and down their lineup. You know, I saw some, we could bring the show. Do you love talking St. Louis Cardinals baseball?
I love nothing more, John, and you know.
All right.
That. So, yeah, let the people know. What did you do last week?
We didn't have a show last week because I was in St. Louis. I was doing a couple episodes on 101 ESPN. They can be found digitally at 101sports.com. On Tuesday and Wednesday, I did a couple of radio gigs, terrestrial radio, as a bit of a tryout to be the third wheel on the afternoon drive time show. So I got to talk some St. Louis Cardinals baseball. I got to watch Jaime Garcia blow a game in like the first inning and then talk about that for 4 hours. But man, it was an experience. It was a lot of fun doing terrestrial radio. And as we were talking about off air yesterday, it's like a completely different animal than doing a podcast. And if I can just say it, fuck. I've just been wanting to say it into a microphone for a long time, because for 4 hours in St. Louis, I was just, don't swear, don't swear, don't swear. Whatever you do, just don't swear. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. So I should find out in the next couple of weeks whether I'm going to be moving to St. Louis to be the guy on 101 ESPN, or the new guy, I guess. But, Rich, I can see if we can get us in there and sell maybe the KMP Show for weekends. Again, have to talk a lot of Cardinals, a lot of St. Louis Blues. So
yeah,
get up
I love the Blues. You know, if there's one thing I love more than St. Louis Cardinals baseball, it's St. Louis Blues hockey.
Yeah, you were pissed that Vladimir Sobotka is not being let out of his KHL contract.
Yeah, are you kidding?
Like, they brought that up, and I had no idea what the hell was going on.
I listened. You were like, hey, he's like kind of just a guy, right? They're like, yeah. Or like, I think you were like, oh, you're like, that's a lot of worry about like a forward. They're like, well, he'll play like center, right? You're like, oh yeah, center. That's what I meant. Like,
no, but he was listed as a center, but they're like, he could be a winger. I'm like, oh, okay, well then whatever, man.
No, I'm positive you were just like looking at like his like NHL.com or like his Wikipedia page, and you're like,
oh no, before I went, I bought the Sporting News season preview. So
nice.
NHL. So I was just reading that. Like, it says here that this is what,
according to this thing,
what was going on. And it's weird because you never realize how immersed you are in a local sporting scene when you have to talk about something else. Because they wanted to talk about, you know, like the last 3 years of Adam Wainwright. And I was just looking at his baseball reference page and just, I'm gonna be like, he's not really that good, guys. He's been kind of bleh for the last couple seasons. But, you get into a rhythm talking and listening and consuming sports. But, it was a real experience. A lot of people from Twitter listened. And I think the response was pretty good. So hopefully, you know, have a terrestrial radio gig and then can do this on the side. And Rich, I know we talked about it a couple episodes ago. This place, this station, they encourage their talent to do podcasts, which I thought was a really cool thing. They have a
That's really cool. Yeah, they should.
Yeah, and they have a bunch of studios set up where they just say, hey, if you want to do a podcast, here, go do it. And
yeah, why not? Jeez,
here's microphones and everything. So It was pretty cool, and the facilities were top notch, like grade A stuff all around. Because the station cluster used to be owned by Bonneville International, which is a front, quote front for the Mormon Church. So
they just had money.
They're like, hey, we want to start a radio station cluster here. So here's top of the line studio equipment.
Are they still doing Mormon programming or no?
No. Now it's owned by Hubbard Radio, but
I would do the. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, one thing. Randy Carricker, the guy who drives the Drive Time show called The Fast Lane, one thing he told me. We went out to dinner after the first show, and he said, "You know, the reason that this frequency 101 whatever it is on the terrestrial dial, the reason it is a sports station now is because it used to be like an urban rhythm AC hip hop kind of thing, but they couldn't clear the playlist past the Mormon Church." When it was Bonneville International, so they're just making a sports station, okay? Because we don't want to,
like, a good marriage. Yeah, hip hop and the Church of Latter Day Saints is not a good relationship.
I don't think they really liked it. But
are there any? I wonder, because there was like I grew up, there was like DC talk, like Christian rap. I wonder, is there any Mormon rap?
I don't know.
And see if there's a Mormon rapper.
Are they? I mean, do they get down with the Christian G.O.D.? Like, that seems like something where they could be...
Let's see, MormonBuzz.com. It's got three buzzes, so that's why I said that. LDS rap. Okay. No. Okay.
Latter-day Saints rap? I think we found it.
This Mormon has proven it has a place, yeah.
There we go.
Jabari Parker, he's Mormon, so maybe he's...
Jabari Parker is Mormon?
He is, yeah.
Wow. Cool. Yeah.
So Quran, also known as James the Mormon. Okay, well, he makes it very known that he's a Mormon. He's an upcoming musician.
Right, just throwing it out there for you.
He's an up-and-coming musician. I feel like you just can't just say that just because. But anyway, who specializes in gospel-themed rap. Like, because I get annoyed at that. When they have, like, last week, somebody got shot on the highway in Chicago. Or, like, shot on, like, by the way, it's like an entrance ramp to a highway, so I really wouldn't count that as the highway. But anyway, and they put, like, rapper John Doe. And I was like, you just can't call, like...
What's the barrier for entry for being referred to as a rapper?
Like, what do you, like, if I die, or John, if you die, they're not going to say radio superstar.
No.
They should. I mean, you have more, you're probably closer than John Doe the rapper.
I'd be more impressed if they referred to me as rapper, John Plantag.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, if at any point you've rapped or you consider yourself a rapper, yeah. But like, I don't know. Like, I
know some Eminem songs.
Would you be like basketball player Rich Greats? Like,
that'd be great.
Murdered, like, on the side. Like, oh man, I never heard of him.
Wow, man, this guy must have been. Yeah, he's up and coming.
Basketball player Rich. Yeah, I played at the North Riverside Park District lot. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like I know a couple bars from Eminem songs. I don't think that makes me a rapper.
You know all of Exhibit's.
I do.
Discography. Most of the Exhibit's discography. So
I'm just a restless guy. The stuff after that was way too commercial, too poppy.
Oh, no, nobody counts that. Nobody counts any of those.
No, so. But Restless, I'm all about Restless.
Okay, so anytime you want to know the buzz or the haps on Mormons, Mormon Buzz.
Is he on tour? Is he going on tour? I think we should catch a show.
What was it? James the Mormon.
James the Mormon. What an uninspired rap name.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, don't you wordplay, DJ something, because even though you're not really a DJ or MC, there's got to be MC something, some kind of wordplay with the Latter-day Saints, MC, LDS, something.
I wonder if Page does not give a whole lot of...
He's probably getting that all together. He's up and coming.
He's got 94 likes, which, I mean...
Well, you know...
Not the only, that's not the only thing, but, oh, here we go. That might not be his official one. Here we go. This one has 94. No, this one's got 94 as well. Okay. No.
Okay. Well,
I don't know. I'm going to look at his YouTube subscribe. As you know that, 14,000. All right.
All right. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints people need an outlet, and sometimes it's not always in soft rock or acoustic rock. And sometimes it's got to be. Yeah, he's got to spit
active,
hot fire.
He's active on YouTube too, so we'll have to check him out.
Does he freestyle? I have all these questions now for James.
I don't know.
Mormon.
I don't want to play any of them. I don't want to play any. Show here. We got to be professional. Here,
yeah, right? But check him out, James the Mormon, coming to a church near you, maybe. A rec center. I just hope that he goes to rap shows, like he goes to like open mic stuff, and he goes to rap contests, but he does his Mormon bit. Like, he's just like, yo, what up, James the Mormon.
And then he kills it. And then it just absolutely destroys it, which is the best thing, too, where they're like, oh, man, this guy's going to kill you.
Yep. Because, but it's all clean. It's all clean.
Can we pray before we do this battle? And they're like, all right. Sure.
Like, let us pray.
This dude's going to get killed, and then he just destroys everybody.
Mm-hmm. He's got it down. It's like 8 Mile, basically. I think that's how it goes. All over the place. But we got a lot to talk about today, in case the last 10 minutes of banter haven't clued you in. There's a lot going on, and we're going to try to get out of here pretty quickly, because postseason baseball is about to start. A series of one-game playoffs that will determine who then gets to play 5 games, maybe.
Right.
And then that determines who gets to play 7 games.
I found this kind of funny, and then we'll get to the topic. Is they were celebrating, like, I think it was, I forgot who it was that was watching over the weekend, maybe on Sunday or whatever.
It wasn't the Cardinals, I know that.
It was not the Cardinals. No, I believe it was actually the Giants. Yeah, no, it was the Giants. That remind me. But so they were, you know, they won their, you know, they're in the playoffs or whatever. So they go and, like, they're celebrating with all their champagne, and they're in the locker room or whatever, and their hats just say, like, MLB postseason. Like, you know what I mean? Like, because they didn't win a division. They're not really the wild card team.
There's
two wild cards, so it's like, yeah, postseason. Like, woo! Like, I swear their hats. And I was just like, can you imagine if somebody, like, some Giants fans, like, well, I got to get that postseason hat, like, right away.
That nondescript. Non-denominational postseason.
Yeah, let me see. I have it right here. I'm going to forward it to you on our little chat here, just so you can see it. Because it's just, I just saw it. I just laughed.
Can you buy that on the MLB shop?
You can buy it on non-denominational postseason gear. Fanatics.com. Here, I'm going to put it in our little, little chat box here. It is.
This is great.
I laughed for so long. And you can look, if you just look up like San Francisco Giants postseason hat, it should come up pretty quickly. But yeah.
All right. Let me hop on it.
Yeah. These are the exact ones they were wearing too, and it just made me laugh.
Okay. Did you put it in there?
So much. I did. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
You can search it on Hopout either.
I don't see where you put it, so I'm just gonna.
There's like a little chat below there, but that's pretty.
Yeah. I don't tell. Postseason, one word, two words.
Oh my. I did one word.
Okay. Is it images?
Yeah. Probably.
Oh. Fanatics.com. Is that it? Postseason 2016. Postseason, bro. And that's how it is. That's how they want it now.
They're not wrong.
they're in the postseason, and they have a, I don't know, basically 50-50 shot. We haven't seen enough of these one game playoffs, I don't think, to really trust all the numbers on it, but you know, I wonder how, you know, irrespective of larger, how much does winning percentage mean in the playoffs? Like, how well does it correlate? It's got to be, like, basically a 50-50 shot with these one-game playoffs, right?
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I guess that was one of the questions that I kind of wanted to talk about when we got on the show, is the randomness of baseball and the randomness of the playoffs and that sort of stuff. And I think from a macro sense, the question I had to you, John, was that, you know, in particular this year, and in particular, you know, us living in Chicago, the Chicago Cubs are they're unquestionably the best team in the league right now, right? I mean, the run differential is out of this world, like crazy, crazy, insanely good. You know, probably the best pitching staff in the league, one of the best hitting lineups in the league, arguably the best defense in the league. You know, a great bullpen now, shored up, so they got everything. You know, you're basically ready to go. You go, this is all we need to do. You know, we got good young players. We're good at every position on the on the field. We're ready to go, and yet, once you get in the playoffs, they could just as easily get swept in the first round, and nobody would bat an eye. You know what I mean? Like you'd be like, well, that's it. Like, that's baseball.
Yeah.
And I wondered, in your mind, does that sort of sully it a little bit? Do you like that? Do you hate that? What does it do for you? Or alternatively, and then we'll get to that in a little bit, is there anything you can do to sort of change the playoff structure? But I guess I'll ask you first, is that too random to you? Do you hate that, or do you like the fact that it's like, dude, you get in it, and then who the hell knows? Because sometimes you can be on the other side of that. You can be the Baltimore Orioles, who play in this one-game playoff, and it's like, oh, they're not going to win, and then they just get hot for a week, and they win. You know what I mean?
Yeah, or the Royals did it
2 straight years, and then, you know, parlayed that into an actual World Series of just being like, eh, we'll just get good at the right time. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, the Giants were 88-74 when they won it in 2014. I struggle. I mean, I can vacillate to both sides, or between both sides, I guess, in that, you know, I get it. I get the argument against it, in that the better team should probably win out more often than not. And I don't know where that is from a mathematical standpoint, whether the numbers bear that out.
Right.
And really, I don't know what level I'm comfortable with, you know, in terms of, okay, well, 25% of the time, the team that has the best winning percentage in the regular season appears in the World Series. But I think from a fundamental standpoint, I like it, because otherwise, just award, you know, don't even do a playoff. Do the Premier League thing, where it's just you got the best record there. You're the champion now because you reigned supreme for 162 games. I like the idea of, okay, well, your regular season, though, your record in those 162 games, they give you a better seeding. You get a better chance. You have the odds are a little bit stacked in your favor to try to win out that series, but you still got to win. You still got to go out there and you got to pitch, and you have to timely hitting, timely defense, and all the things that go into postseason baseball. I think that right now it's in a decent enough space, but I can very easily see and understand and appreciate the arguments for, well, wait a minute, you can't have a team that's barely 500 just so happen to get really, really hot, and then, you know, this team went five games, or this team went, you know, this team was hurt and they didn't have this pitcher ready or this lineup ready to go. I can understand it, but at the end of the day, go out there and win. That's what you're paid to do, and this is the way it's set up, and you got to go out there and you got to win either way, because otherwise we're just awarding based on regular season record, which, you know.
That's not very fun. Yeah. Just to give you an idea, since the beginning of the wildcard era, four of the 26 teams with the top record went on to win the World Series. This is from earlier this year.
Okay.
Chicago Tribune, the 1998 and 2009 Yankees, and the 2007 and 2013 Red Sox. That's 7%.
Okay, what? I don't know if it's there. Do they have playoff or World Series appearance? Does it maybe get better if you include those that appeared?
Yeah, I think they might have it in here. I'm trying to look right now.
Okay.
Oh, here, you want World Series appearance. Okay, I can do that real quick. Let's see. We got the 2013 Cardinals. They appeared.
Okay.
So here, I'll just go down basically from, you know, so we got 2013, the Cardinals. My dogs are making the most amount of noise they could.
That's cool. I like them
so
playing.
I apologize. I don't know what we're doing in the back. So 2013, St. Louis Cardinals. They
make sure
lost.
They're not chewing on anything expensive.
No. One's like he put his ball into there's like a 12 pack of soda. That's his favorite thing to do. Which is great when like nothing's going on because it distracts him for like an hour. It's not as great when the soda box is in.
Right? Did he just
podcast.
Do it now? He's like, you
yes.
know what?
Yeah.
Now
he's
is
like,
the
you
time.
Know, I've been here all day, but I've done nothing.
This has got to happen right now. You know what? Do it. You do you, dog.
You're in this room.
Which one is it? Is it Louis or Hans?
Louis is that? Yeah. And Hans is squeaking some toy in the other room. So. All right. So 2013, both the Red Sox and the Cardinals went to the World Series with the league's best records.
Okay.
So Boston won. You know, St. Louis lost. 2009, the Yankees made it, as I mentioned, and won the World Series. 2007, Boston made it to the World Series. 2004, the Cardinals lost in the World Series, but they did make it.
Okay.
2003, the Yankees made it, but lost in the World Series. So we're a much higher percentage of people making it. 1999, the Atlanta Braves made the World Series, but lost. 98, the Yankees made the World Series and won. And then 1995, the Indians made the World Series and lost. So that's a
okay,
pretty
so I
good
got
amount
nine.
Of number, actually. Yeah, okay. So that's dramatically more. I mean, 9 of 26 then.
Okay, 9 of 26 is still... what's that workout percentage-wise? 9 of 26. All right, that's about 35%. Mm-hmm. That seems right about where I'd say
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that's... Well, because... And then my second question to you then would sort of be, okay... So if we let's assume that you and I both say, oh, this is broken, this is ridiculous, that's not enough, 35% isn't enough. I want like the best teams in the World Series all the time, and I want the best teams making it as far as every single time, and I hate this randomness or whatever. Is there anything you could really do? And that's I guess the bigger question that I had is like, because it's baseball, man. Like, you know,
right.
Like the best team, you lose 70 like 60 games. Like the Cubs are awesome, and they only won 103 games. Like, you know, there was a 60 or so that they just didn't have a chance of winning. And like, sometimes your pitchers are just bad. And like, there's nothing nothing's going to make, you know, Clayton Kershaw. How many times do we see him go to the playoffs after having just a dominant, incredible year, and then just shits the bed and they're done. And that's it for the Dodgers. It's like, well, fuck it. We're done then.
Yeah. He has one bad game and it's game over. Done.
Right. It's like, oh, shit. Like John Lester can go for the Cubs and just completely shit the bed. Like we can watch, you know, many times that can happen. Where the Red Sox, they just stop hitting for a week, and that if that happens in June, we just go, oh man, the Red Sox, you know, they just didn't hit this week, but no matter, don't worry, they're 10 games up in the division. Like, it's fine. We just kind of shrug it off. But if it happens in the playoffs, then it's, oh, this team, they choked in the, like, but you right. just sometimes suck in baseball. You know what I mean? Like, it's, it happens.
You know, outside of going to, you know, you'd have to shorten the season. Outside of going to 9, 11, 15 game playoff series, you know, because that would assure,
that's
I mean,
it, yeah.
The better team will probably win out in a 15 game series, but who's going to watch that? You know, I mean, the great thing about playoff baseball is that it's baseball, but the value of each win is so heightened compared to the regular season because, like you said, it is a much bigger deal for the Red Sox to go cold for a couple days now than in August or June. And, oh, excuse me, sorry, I had to cough there. I don't have a cough button installed. But, yet, but you know, I think that it's you'd have to go to longer series because I'm hard pressed to think of anything else that would make it more conducive to the better team winning. Is there anything that you've seen that really moves the meter for you?
No, and there's a few that I saw. There was an article a few months ago on Baseball Prospectus. I believe his name was Henry Duschel or Druschel, I believe his name. He kind of came up with a few different ones. The one that he had that I didn't mind, but again, it's like, how much fun is that? Is like, make each league's playoffs like a round robin, so every team plays three or four games against every other team in the league playoff, and then the mm-hmm. best record in each then play in the World Series. Then you could do like a 9-game World Series, but then like, all we're doing is adding games. Is that really what anybody wants out of like the right. World Series? Like, you know, can I have more games? Can this series go on longer? Especially like, as you're saying, okay, then fine, you have to shorten the season by a month because you don't want to play these games in like November because that's what's going to happen.
Oh
like,
no, remember that, that Phillies-Rays series when it was freezing
snowing.
Rain?
They had to cancel a game for snow. Like, uh-huh. That's ridiculous. Like, and so, and that's another thing that always kind of irks me as well is that like, you play the entire baseball season in one condition. Like, you play it in... You know, yeah, it's chilly maybe in the beginning of the year, but for the most part, you know, 75% of the season is played mm-hmm. in the summer. It's warm. And then you come to the playoffs and it's like, you got these guys in hoods, you got like, they're wearing gloves. It's like not even the same game mm-hmm. at that point. So I always kind of find that funny is like, imagine in any other sport where they just completely like in the playoffs, just decide like basketball, they just play like in the NBA, they just played outdoor in like, right. Like, all right, now it's street ball, man. It's street ball.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, this is really tough. Like, this is like, we're kind of used to the bounce of the, it's like, yeah, well, too bad. It's playoffs now.
Yeah. We're doing it in the Bronx courts. We're doing it in the courts in the Bronx.
We're doing it at Rutgers. So
yeah. Yeah. Have fun.
So there's that. I mean, every other solution that you look at is basically just that they kind of, you know,
more games,
add more games, yeah, which right. is fine. Like, that's probably one way to solve it, but does anybody really want that?
I think, of course, if you do that, it would be more inherently fair because every team would have a much bigger opportunity to let their or to have their true talent level shine through. But when you do that, you start losing some of that luster of the playoffs. And I don't know that people are really thinking that hard about what the playoffs would feel like if they were to enact these fanciful scenarios where, okay, now there's a 9-game World Series after, you know, a 15-game round robin thing going on for a couple weeks. Okay, that's great. And you may, over a longer period of time, have the better teams win out more often, but are you going to be this jazzed to watch a round robin game, a playoff round robin game tonight, as we are to watch this 1-game playoff between the Jays and the Orioles? I don't think so. And you know, I think that people should just start to make peace with getting to the dance. That's what you got to do.
Right.
Is you got to get your ticket to the dance, and that should be enough.
Right, right. I'd be happy with that. I think mm-hmm. that's the thing that I always come to is, and that's sort of why I wanted to talk about this topic is because I don't really care. I mean, yeah, it sucks to maybe be that invested in a team for the entire summer, the entire year, and right. then, you know, they get swept in the first round of playoffs, and you're like, oh man, well now that's a waste. But you basically, and I think this is a problem with all sports, is don't define, you know, your team's success solely by championships. Like, yes, mm-hmm. it would be great to have a World Series for your team. Insert team here. Any team. I mean, this playoffs is filled with teams that, like, would be really cool if they won a World Series because it's been mm-hmm. forever since they did it. You know, quite a few, especially, you know, Cleveland and you know,
the
Chicago
Cubs.
In particular, yeah, have waited forever to get them. So it'd be cool for either one of those. But, like, you know, just getting there is that's what you have to be happy with, like you said. And then just sit back and go, okay, I got to enjoy this ride because God only knows what's going to happen. You know, my pitcher could suck. My pitcher can get really good, too. All of a sudden, some crappy guy that you didn't know could go on a streak, like an unbelievable streak. Like, we saw that in 2005. You know, we personally, you know, in Chicago, we saw it with Jose Contreras in 2005. He just became an unbeatable monster that just destroyed everybody.
Four balls for everybody.
Just, yeah, and then, like, the rest, I mean, throughout the year, he'd been okay, but then he just became a monster in the playoffs, and they won, and they lost one game in the entire state. It's like, sometimes it happens. Like, you just have to go along for the ride, I think, and that sucks. You know, especially if you're a fan of one of those long-suffering teams, and that's how you define your success. But, like, yeah, I think, because I love it. I just love, like, love the idea that, like, well, the second we're done with this, I'm going to watch this game, and every freaking thing in this game matters so much.
Right. And on that note, you know, I made fun of it, and I think we off-air joked about it when you know, it was murmured that this was going to be introduced. But, man, this second wild card and this one-game playoff thing, kind of a fan of it.
Yeah, well, it keeps every team in the season, too, and I think that's always a good thing as well. Because a lot of the scenarios, again, that like you look at to be like, oh, we need to find the best teams is like, yeah, you can just have like both winners from both leagues like face each other in World Series, but you know, if you're a fan of the San Diego Padres, do you really want to be out of it by like April?
You know, by
late April, you want to be like, all right, well, listen, that's throw that towel in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's it. That's the other reality, is that you basically play 5 months of the season with no hope that you're going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, for 90% of the league, like that, you don't want that.
And this last week of the season, with the, we didn't get any of it. I mean, we had all these pie in the sky. If there are this ties, here are these tie breaking rules.
We almost had a 3-way tie, man. I
know, and
so
we
bad.
Couldn't get it, and because the Cardinals insisted on starting Jaime Garcia, and how does that look now, Cardinals fans? But I think that, you know, this last week of the season, it's the MLB's fault that it all got not yesterday. Sunday was buried under the NFL, buried under NFL week four. I don't know.
Schedule it on a Sunday.
You had all these wild card races coming together and culminating in you had people that could have been handed off, much like the NFL hands people off from game to game to game, and everybody watches it. You could hand people off from baseball game to baseball game to baseball game on Sunday, and people would have watched because they were so interested in what was going on and the storylines and the will they make it, won't they make it, will there be a tie? And it's a scheduling issue that it was buried under the NFL, but it was a lot of fun, and a lot of people, you know, if you are one of the teams, if you are the Blue Jays here, if you are playing in this wild card game, how would you feel as a fan thinking, well, you know, we may win this one and get into the divisional round, but then we have to play an 11 game series and we're probably going to lose because we're not as good as one of the other division winners. There's not really that much hope if the playoffs are more, quote, fair. I think everybody has a lot of interest in this now. They have a lot of hope because you can get in and you can do a little bit of damage. Mm-hmm. If you get hot, if you have, you know, sterling pitching at the right moment, it could be something for a team that just got in. And I think that novelty, I don't know if that's the right word, but I'll call it that. That novelty, I think, is worthwhile. I joked about it when they were introducing, you know, the one game playoff, because that's what it was, right? It was forced. It was a quirk of the season.
Yeah, because it started to happen a little bit more, where you had, like, I think there was 2011 was the famous year where, like, in 4 minutes, like, the Baltimore Orioles came back on the Red Sox and knocked them out, and then the Rays, like, hit a walk-off, and, like, a bunch of stuff happened, and then it worked out. And then you had the other ones in, like, 2008. You had, like, the White Sox and the Twins go to the one-game playoff. I think the year after that you had another one. So they're like, well, this is pretty cool. Let's do this every year. And it's like, well, man, like, that kind of sucks because it was really cool when it was organic. But now as we've kind of gone a few years into it, because I was right with you, I thought it was stupid as well. I was like, no, let it happen organically. It's so much more cool when it's like that. And now I'm, like, you know, salivating at the thought of watching these two games. So it's like, all right, they got me. Like, it's pretty cool. Like, I'm fine with it.
Is there anything, I don't know, would you be okay with shortening the season and adding two games onto the league and World Series rounds?
I'd be fine with that, I think. I don't think there's a huge problem in doing that, but but I do like the one game. I don't know, like, I kind of like the gunslinging one game.
Right, just woo,
like,
all right.
Maybe in my old age, I've become like a screw it, I don't care. But like, I just like the idea, like,
getting meatball-y as you get older. Like,
it's like terrible if you're a fan of one of these teams. But it's like, oh, in the division then, like, so you know what I mean? Like, then I guess there is that benefit of being a better team, is that you don't have to deal with this. And like, yeah, maybe a team. But then like, I really like the Royal stories those last 2 years where they were just like against the wall, one game play, and then they just run all the way. Like, I don't know. It's kind of cool.
And, you know, imagine being a fan of the Braves when they were on their divisional championship run. When they were, when they just, yeah, we're going to win this division. We may not go very, we may not win the World Series, but we are going to be doing stuff. We are going to be playing October baseball and now November baseball pretty much every year. And we just, we have to continue to give ourselves chances. You were, you as a Braves fan for a long time, were involved in every single postseason. You had a reason to watch, and if you knew that, well, you know, yeah, you won your division, but you're just you're the tallest midget, and so, you know, you're going to have to go play eight games or six games, five games, whatever, against a much, much better opponent, you may not be as invested. So I'm okay with it. I'd be open to hearing better suggestions. It's just something about round robin just doesn't do it for me.
Nah.
I don't really know what to make of all that. But what do we make of, Rich, about you know, two teams now that are going to be playing October baseball featuring two guys who tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs, David Ortiz and Bartolo Colon. And we've been saying this all year, that there just really isn't the narrative around these guys that there would be, I think, if they weren't as lovable, cuddly looking, maybe.
Lovable, yeah, I don't right, know. Just,
you know, but do you make it, should we be talking about, hey, you know what, Bartolo Colon and David Ortiz are having career years in ostensibly the last year of their career. I don't know, has Bartolo Colon said he's done?
I don't know if Bartolo said he's done. I feel like Bartolo's just going to pitch forever. and again, like for full disclosure, I don't care, really.
Nope.
I just want it to be fair. I want you to be, if you're going to vilify an Alex Rodriguez, if you're going to vilify a Barry Bonds, if you're going to vilify a Sammy Sosa, if Mark McGwire can't even get a sniff of the Hall of Fame because he did, you know, if a guy like a Jason Giambi gets sort of looked at unfairly, if a Roger Clemens, like, okay, that's fine. But then, like, you can't also then turn around and go, well, David Ortiz, like, and then find excuses for David Ortiz and find things for David Ortiz or Bartolo Colon, who absolutely did test positive.
He was suspended.
Nobody cares.
50 like, games.
And he nobody got a cares.
50 game clip. Just see ya.
Because his helmet falls off when he slings, so nobody gives a shit and nobody cares. Yeah. But like, those same, like, guys that, like, you know, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, they ruined the game. They destroyed the sanctity of the game. And then, like, I see David Ortiz getting just the send off on Sunday.
Right, he's getting the
incredible.
He's,
yeah,
he's going like, on a tour. They're giving him gifts. You know, I mean, A-Rod had that
and like ran over, like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, it was really ominous when A-Rod's last game as a Yankee, there was rain during the ceremony. It just started pouring rain on him.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, Joe Girardi was kind of the, well, I'm here to win games, et cetera, although now with the way the playoff race shaped up, maybe he actually had a bit of a point. But you had people that can't wait to tell you about how bad of a guy A-Rod is, about how bad of a guy Ryan Braun is, and how dare he find himself in a, you know, in a playoff contending town wherever. And I think, Rich, we both just want consistency. Give us consistency in your argument. If you're not going to like A-Rod because he tested positive for PEDs, then you better not like David Ortiz and Bartolo Colon because they both tested positive for PEDs. And spare me the, we don't really know what David Ortiz tested positive for because it wasn't supposed to be made public. They were testing for performance-enhancing drugs, okay?
His name was on the list.
Right, and Rob
Manfred, what is he doing? What are you
trying
doing?
To get out in front of it? Well, we don't really know whether we can't really to put a lot of faith in that test. Wait, what do you mean? That was the testing. That was the basis for your performance-enhancing drug testing protocol. You were testing so that you knew how strict and stringent you had to be in your testing, so you didn't have to suspect. Spend half your players, and now you're saying, well, we don't really know whether that was very good testing. It's I think there's a lot of people that show their ass when you start involving PEDs, because I think the more and more we talk about it, the more and more we start finding out that people, it's just a convenient excuse to like their favorite guys and dislike people that they just are predisposed to not liking, because A-Rod is a very dislikable person. He just looks like a bag. And David Ortiz is a very likable person. He's good in commercials. He, by all accounts, is really in on the whole Boston thing. After the marathon bombings, David Ortiz became kind of a figure in the Boston community for that whole Boston Strong thing, which I don't like for other reasons. But still, he was the source of a lot of good for people, and he's a likable person. But you know what? They both cheated. And I think if you're going to treat one way, you should treat the other, whichever way you want to treat them, whichever way you want to treat one because of this, treat the other the same way, right?
It's just, yeah, I think you nailed it. I don't think there's much really to add there. And I thought Joe Sheehan on his newsletter, which is a really good email subscription newsletter that he puts out.
How much does that run you?
I think it's like $4.95 or something like that.
$4.95 a month?
Something like that. It's worth it. Because he had a pretty good thing on Bartolo Colon, who I guess is another guy we kind of have to talk about a little bit because he's kind of become the playful, happy, you know, everybody loves him guy. But he said this player was on his way out of the league, having thrown just 421 in the third innings over six seasons at age 36 with a 95 ERA plus in that time. He'd played for four teams in 5 years, missing a complete season in there as well. At age 39, though, he posted his best numbers since 32 while being suspended for 50 games under the joint drug agreement. Since that suspension, he has taken every start asked of him and provided a 106 ERA plus in 779 innings. We ruined so many players' reputations over this stuff. We foster suspicion and disdain and outright hatred of baseball players, many of whom have never tested positive, much less been suspended. Again, another great point, like Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, so like again, you know, those guys. We build narratives that collapse under the slightest of examinations, but the stain remains. Yet a player whose career inarguably has the shape of a player who saved himself through chemistry is a cuddly mascot-like figure whose transgression is almost never mentioned.
Yep.
And that applies, I think the exact same thing applies to David Ortiz, who again, halfway through the year, is like, oh my God, what a career year out of David Ortiz. He's 40 and he's doing these amazing things that you've never seen.
And
it's like,
nobody mentioned it. Nobody questioned because I don't know. I don't know where it comes from. I, no idea. Is it? No. I was going to say, are people scared of being called racist? But I don't think so. I mean, people slam Sammy Sosa, no problem. They don't care. I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird thing that I think just reveals people's tribalism. You know, they just want to like their guys, and they want to dislike guys that they don't like, and they're just going to do it no matter what. You know, Ryan Braun tested positive despite the mishandling of the sample. The guy put it in his basement windowsill for a day for whatever reason. But he did. And he tried to ruin the guy's career over it because he's a gigantic bag. But that's, I don't know. It's just it's a weird thing that, that people, people, you're a bad guy if you do this, but you can also not be a bad guy if you do the same thing if you're warm and cuddly enough. And I want to ask you this question, Rich, moving forward. Is Odell Beckham Jr. cute and cuddly enough to warrant just being a gigantic douche? He's, again, for the first time this year, his tantrum on the field, or his fire and passion, we'll call it, has cost his team yards now. Last night on Monday Night Football, after being taken down outside, on the outside by Vikes corner Xavier Rhodes, Beckham got up and got in Rhodes' face and got hit with a 15-yard taunting penalty. And this is the second outburst in a week that stems from Beckham Jr.'s poor play. He would only end up with three catches for 23 yards and hadn't been targeted for the first 22 minutes of Monday Night Football last night. And last week, there was a tantrum that was caught by NFL on Fox cameras, and he was caught, you know, slamming the poor kicker's stand that he's got to use. If you're the kicker, don't you be like, come on, dude.
Yeah, like, no, I need that, man.
Like I got to go kick a field goal because you can't catch a damn pass. And now you're going to get pissed and break my stuff. Dude, I need that. Like, what if you broke it? But
yeah, I mean, how many I'm trying to wonder how many, like, backups do they probably have?
That's the thing.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody cares about the kickers or whatever. Like, if their little net breaks, like, they probably are just like, well, I don't know, man. You're on your own. Who cares?
Did you start launching balls into the stands? Like, you've got, like, whatever, how many? 15K balls? So you can launch a couple into the stands to get warmed up, like if it's a game-winning kick or something, I suppose. But this is Odell Beckham Jr. again last year when he was covered by Josh Norman, then of the Panthers. He got into a headhunting match. He got into, I'm going to run across the field and lower the crown of my helmet and try to hit you in the head, Josh Norman, because we are hand-fighting and having a spirited receiver-defender thing going on. Has Odell Beckham Jr. gone a little bit too far this time?
It's been a bad. It's not been a good year either. And I think one of the best examples I think we got a little bit of, you know, this past weekend with the Vikings, because he also didn't do anything on the field either.
Right.
And it's kind of funny how when you do all that stuff, but then you still kind of score. Like people are just kind of like, oh, he's dashing it. Oh, he's doing it. Like. But now all of a sudden, you know, and again, I'm not calling you out or anybody else. I'm just basically saying it's funny how everybody sort of then it becomes, okay, well, now let's talk about
right.
this, is that he's getting held, you know, he only gets 3 catches for 23 yards. And, you know, it was all on one single drive or whatever. And now it's like this idea of like, all right, well, let's actually look at this a little bit more and let's actually focus on this. So I always kind of find that a little bit funny, where it was, you know, probably detrimental many of the other times he did it. But in this particular case, it very much was. But yeah, he's had a very odd year. And I think it's getting to a point where, yeah, it's like it's not good. Like you're really costing your team a lot of times. And I look at it's hard not to say it's affecting his performance. Mm-hmm. The Vikings are a great defense. So, I mean, there might be something to said for they just had the right plan for him, but he's played other good defenses and done well. But this in particular was just a horrible week for him.
Yeah. And I think that I'm of the mind that you can be as passionate and fiery and yelly as you want. Go ahead. Don't cost me yards. Don't cost your team yards. But for your yelling, your screaming, your posturing, your preening, whatever, when you start costing your team yards because of that, or playing time if you hurt yourself because you're an idiot, then now I have something to say about it. Now I can say, hey, wait a minute. Now we have to talk about this, because your efforts to pump yourself up, to get yourself out of a funk, because you're right, Rich. Other players in the NFL do this. Other players get really upset on the sidelines. They get really upset when they perform poorly, when they feel a penalty has been missed, when their team sucks. They get really upset and they run around and they scream and they yell and they yell at people. They give people the finger. They swear at them. They do all kinds of bad stuff, but it doesn't cost the team yards. And when it starts doing that, when you start getting flagged because you are an a-hole, then the team really needs to sit you down and say, stop it. You can be as fiery and as passionate as you want. You can be Pernell McPhee, who's in street clothes going out on the sidelines to yell at Jay Cutler for throwing yet another bad interception, which I'm totally fine with. But if that instance causes a penalty or it causes something else, you to get hurt or somebody else to get hurt, then I have a problem / the team has a problem, and I think we are at that point with Odell Beckham Jr. Go ahead and be passionate if you want, fiery, but you can't be hurting the team like that.
There's a big difference. Yeah, there's absolutely the biggest difference. I mean, yeah, screaming after thing. I mean, it might be annoying or whatever, but yeah, when you start actually getting penalties for that, like, nobody should ever root for that. Mm-hmm. Nobody should ever want your guy, one of your players to get a penalty. Or like, there's also a level too where you can get so passionate and so pumped up, and so, I mean, that's not good. You don't want to do that, like, because then you don't, because you're not playing your best. You're playing angry, you're playing bad. Like, you're supposed to be a little bit, yeah, and football is a little bit different than maybe some other sports where you do want to kind of get pumped up, and because, you know, you're basically going through a car crash, so you need to have a certain amount
of adrenaline, shortening your life as well.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, yeah, when you're cutting years off your life every single time you get on the field, you know, you might want to, you got to have a certain amount of adrenaline, a certain, you know, drive going on. But yeah, when it does get to this point where it does affect you on the field, it does affect your performance, and it gets, you know, penalties called on you and stuff, that's when it's bad, and that's when you want to reel your guy in. But the problem is, if you might already be too far gone, and I think that might be an issue with Odell Beckham, is because he was producing, you know, for so long, and he was so, you know, always passionate, but it doesn't matter because we're doing well, and, you know, you got all that sort of stuff. But then when it starts then you look at it, but it might be too late. He might already be gone. You know what I mean? Like, he might, at the point of no return might have already passed, and you might not be able to tell him, all right, man, calm down now. You know, right. Like, it's not that easy just to say, all right, stop that. All right, cool.
Same
thanks.
Thing with Ndamukong Suh. Stop stepping on people. Stop doing that. Because then you're going to get yourself fined, you're going to get yourself suspended, and then it's hurting the team. Sure, you're trying to do it for a competitive edge, a psychological edge, whatever, like, oh, if I step on this guy's nuts, maybe he won't be as you know, feisty the next possession. That's great if you don't get caught and if it doesn't hurt the team, but there's cameras everywhere. There's referees everywhere. You're getting caught doing it. You're getting flagged, and now you're going to get suspended when you were doing this, when he was doing this with the Dolphins, I believe last year, up until last year, he was doing it with the Lions. And I believe up until this year, he's doing it again, where he's getting on people. He's getting in people's faces. He's stepping on them, lingering in after a pile and just laying on people. Stop doing that. You know, try to be as passionate, try to be as strong and dominating as you can. But when you're hurting the team, that's a bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm. And you get fined, you get suspended, and that sort of stuff. I mean, I know there's a few times where Sue is a great example of that, where, you know, he'd sack a guy and then step on his nuts or whatever. It's like, what are you doing?
Stop it!
Like, and then they throw him out of the game, and then they, you know, like, Lions would lose the game, or they'd maybe lose him for a few weeks. And it's like, we need all those wins. Like, we can't, like, there's not many times you can mm-hmm. do this. So, yeah, it is an issue. And I think the problem, though, is if you sort of enable it for so long, I think it becomes very hard to just all of a sudden say, all right, Odell, like, you know what I mean? Right. And I know there was a report that they talked to him after the game and all that sort of stuff. But again, like, now you've said that this is okay. Maybe this is how he gets ready for it.
Right.
Like, I just don't think it's that easy to go, all right, next time you go out there, don't be so passionate, all right? And then, like,
right. How is he? You know, right. He doesn't know, okay, well, you told me not to be passionate, so now I'm not as ready to compete and do the things that I do. That I do well. It is a tough thing, but you know what? I think that it started last year. He should have probably been suspended for the rest of the year after what he did to Josh Norman, when he was just running into a pile after a play, launching himself, trying to hit somebody in the head after a play, after the whistle. He should have been, especially with how the NFL is trying to appear as though they care about hits to the head and concussions and all the things. You know, you can't launch yourself at a quarterback anymore. There's no more incidental contact to a quarterback's head or face mask. It's just going to get flagged now. He should have been suspended for the rest of the year, and that was the beginning. That was your teachable moment, and apparently you decided to do nothing. And you're just like, yeah, well, you know, he's just a passionate guy, because you were winning. He was catching touchdown passes when Eli Manning wasn't throwing the football to the other team. But now you're in a rut, and now the lack of winning is sort of bringing this all to bear, and it just doesn't look good. At the end of the day, though, he's an insanely talented player who's going, I mean, let's not beat around the bush. It's not like he's going to leave the NFL or be blackballed or the Giants are going to get rid of him right now, but there's a problem brewing, and it's sort of, we see it starting to froth up, and if the Giants don't do something about it, they could be in real trouble. Rich, what do you say? Do you want to take a quick timeout and tackle one more thing?
Yeah, let's do that.
So we can go watch some postseason baseball?
Yeah, let's do
that. All right, what do you want to talk about? I'll tease it. Do you want to talk about us being wrong on Sam Bradford and the Vikings? Or do you want to talk about Cam Newton going all, you know, spring break on a mansion in Beverly Hills belonging to
I think we can be, let's do the Cam Newton one, because I think we can just be wrong about the Vikings. Like, yes, we were wrong. We thought that, you know, the Bridgewater thing would. Why is Sam Bradford? No. He's been good too.
Now we're talking about it, damn it.
No, we're done. He's been good too. I can't believe it.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Cam Newton going crazy, going all Van Wilder on a Beverly Hills mansion that belonged in part to former WWE diva Stacey Keibler. That'll be next on the KNP Show. We'll be right back.
KNP fans, be sure to head over to voicesofwrestling.com this week for an all-new episode of Shake Them Ropes. Each week, Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins bring you Shake Them Ropes, talking all things WWE and NXT. If you're into nostalgia, every week Rob and Jeff discuss a new match on the WWE.com list of the top 100 matches to see on WWE Network. We run through the greatest matches in the history of pro wrestling, and you can share your thoughts on Twitter at Shake Them Ropes. In addition to our weekly episodes, after every WWE pay-per-view, we also go live on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling YouTube at voicesofwrestling.com/YouTube, and you can follow along to a live video stream as Shake Them Ropes goes live after every WWE pay-per-view. So fans, do not miss all new episodes of Shake Them Ropes. Voicesofwrestling.com. That's voicesofwrestling.com. For the best in pro wrestling coverage and commentary, look no further than Voices of Wrestling. Hi everybody, Rob McCarron here, and at Voices of Wrestling, we specialize in coverage of wrestling in the U.S. and abroad. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Noah, Dragon Gate, Revolution Pro Wrestling, Evolve, Ring of Honor, and yes, WWE and NXT. We have it all. Reviews of every major show. Podcasts that cover it all, including the flagship Voices of Wrestling podcast hosted by Rich Kraich and Joe Lanza. You won't get opinion this diverse from anyone else. Subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Watch our live shows on YouTube. And check out our daily reviews. All of this and more at voicesofwrestling.com.
This segment of the KMP Show is brought to you by SeatGeek, baby. Tickets are on sale for the 2016 NFL, NCAA, and NBA season. I'm sure NHL is coming right up there. Find the best tickets at the best prices on voicesofwrestling.com/SeatGeek. That's voicesofwrestling.com/SeatGeek. Go there, get your tickets right now, help out the show, voicesofwrestling.com/SeatGeek. Welcome back to the KMP Show. One last topic to a little bit of brighter note, a little bit of fun stuff. Cam Newton, now in the concussion protocol, in part because he didn't see a linebacker that was coming straight for his face. Cam Newton is being sued. This is from TMZ. Carolina Panthers quarterback Cam Newton is being sued for more than $270,000 after a mansion he rented earlier this year was supposedly left with extensive damage. According to a lawsuit obtained by TMZ, former WWE diva Stacey Keibler's husband, Jared Pobury, has accused Newton of trashing an $11 million Pobury? Mansion.
Jared Pobury?
Pobury? Did I say Pobury?
No, I is his name Pobury or is it Pobury?
Pobury. I think Pobury. I don't know. Is that a long O? Short O? You know what?
What happened to her and George Clooney? That was a thing for a while, wasn't it?
Was she dating George Clooney?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, George Clooney's just, you know, throwing it around there. He's just.
No, not.
Living it up. I think he's married now, though.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, but for a while there, he was just running around, just putting it. Wherever
this goober. I can't find out what this goober is. So
Jared Pobury, he's probably just a real estate guy. If you own an $11 million mansion, aren't you living in it? Not like whatever. Yeah, here you go. Here's a rental agreement. Sign it.
E News: the 5 things to know about Stacey Keibler's new hunk.
Ooh, Jared hunk. Pobury. Yeah, is it good looking?
That's a good word.
Let me get a Google image search on this bastard. Oh God, Caps Lock, you're doing bad things to me.
He is the founder and CEO of Future Ads, a company that works in online advertising, app distribution, and gaming monetization.
Oh God, so he's like a YouTube network douche?
I think so. Yeah. What's Future Ads? Have you ever heard of? Have you?
No, never heard of Future Ads. It's probably okay. So he's probably like a YouTube gaming network guy. And here's a picture of Stacey Keibler with George Clooney, the Kloonmeister, ER man himself. Get it in there, George. I like it. Good job, buddy. He looks all right.
It's stupid. There's no way this company makes that much money. He's just siphoning money. There's no.
That's YouTube advertising, man. That's digital. That's like, hey, I will sell advertisements on your YouTube channel. Give me 10%, and then you just go to like 10,000 people. Like, do you like making gameplay videos? Yeah, they're good. They're good. I swear. I don't care if they're good. Just put them on there, and we'll take 10, 15, sometimes 20, 25%. Hey, he looks all right. Got a little bit of Mark Wahlberg going there, I think. But anyway, back to the story.
That's not what he called.
Right. Yeah, right. Has accused Newton of trashing an $11 million mansion Pobury manages in Beverly Hills. Oh, he manages it. Oh, it's again a little property management, a little bit of digital ad sales. Newton allegedly threw numerous parties at the house and caused more than $100,000 in damage. The reigning NFL MVP paid $123,000 to rent the mansion for roughly 2 months. My God, man. That's a lot. That is steep. That rent is too damn high. That's incredible. $123,000 for 2 months? Even if I had it, what the hell? Get it out of here. And supposedly agreed he would not throw any wild parties. The problem is the housekeeper snitched, and I like that they use the word snitched, telling the rental company Newton had been throwing multiple parties and leaving cigarette ashes all over the house. In the suit, Pobury says his company warned Newton to cut out the funny business, and Cam responded by telling the housekeeper to quit diming him out. I love it. That's the best part of this story.
It's just this is from TMZ, right?
Yes.
Is this Deadspin or TMZ that you're
This
reading?
Is TMZ.
Okay, all right.
Oh no, yeah, well, I think this is Deadspin quoting TMZ.
Okay, all right. We're getting all
But I like that the
lingo too.
I like that Newton knew exactly who dimed him out. That's the best part. Where it's like, you know, Mr. Newton, we've heard that you're throwing parties
like,
and leaving cigarettes.
Motherfucker.
Like, listen, damn it. Don't you be did he try to slip her some cash? Obviously not enough, Cam.
I would hope so, yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do it anyway, just, right? Well, why don't you, here's $10,000. Go away.
If you can spend, you know, like $3,000 or $2,000 a day to rent a mansion, then yeah, maybe, you know, what's another sort of 3 G's just to keep her quiet?
Right. I have no idea, but you know, maybe she wanted too much. Maybe she's like, we're assuming gender roles. Sorry. Apologies. Maybe a male housekeeper. We don't know. But when the story says, when Newton moved out, Popery says the house had been trashed. He broke an expensive fridge, caused water damage to the floors, ruined linens, and worst of all, destroyed a fancy $32,000 rug. What a dick.
That is kind of a dick move. Leave the rug alone.
What
the rug?
Right? What kind of parties are you throwing?
Yeah, be like, guys, away from the rug, man. Like, that looks like an expensive rug. Like, it's either oriental or it's got, like, it's very comfortable. Like, you know a good rug.
Uh-huh.
The second you walk on a good rug, you know it's a damn good rug. And if I'm him, I'm like, guys, let's stay away from the rug. All right?
Yeah.
Do whatever you want.
But, and I don't get it because I'm not that rich and I probably never will be, but.
Stop. Not with that attitude.
Yeah, well, taking over St. Louis radio, baby. But if I'm renting a mansion, if I'm renting anything, like I try not to destroy hotel rooms, right? I'm not like a rock star where I'm nailing.
Oh, I disagree. I've seen you do some amazing things in a hotel. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the toilet is the toilet. It's there to be used and abused.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't know if that counted. Okay.
It's asking for it. But,
the toilet gets decimated, but everything else stays fairly clean. So.
But, you know, it's like I obey the non-smoking stuff. I'm not, you know, trying to rip off a cig in the bathroom. Like, oh, man, I hope they don't find it. You know, I don't smoke cigarettes. But I wouldn't destroy. I mean, I would be yelling at people. I would be like... I would be like Eddie Murphy in Trading Places when he's yelling at people at his party, like, who are putting out their cools on my floor? Get out of here. You're all of you out of here. This is a nice place. Stop ruining it. Who is Cam Newton just running around these parties and people are like, hey, Cam, somebody burned up this expensive looking rug.
Like, oh, he's just got like his handful of things. There's just like cups in his hand. He's like cleaning everything up.
Like, coasters, damn it, coasters. Come on.
Yeah, that's what I would do. And I hope that Cam Newton also does. He's like, no, that's the good
thing. Maybe Cam Newton's just the victim in all this. Maybe he's maybe he told this digital ad jagbag, like, hey, listen, I'll get you your money. I just got to go to the other people that actually ruined the place. I was trying to keep it nice. I was trying to make sure that nobody pooped on the kitchen floor. But you know what? I'm trying to go find out who that is. I think it may have been Perez Hilton. Not sure. But I'm going to go try to get the money from these people. Then you're all good. But something tells me that it's just, he was just like, they're like, hey, please don't throw parties and ruin the place. And he's just, fuck you, man. I'm doing what I want because I'm Cam Newton. But I don't know. That's an obscene amount of wealth because he's got that Greek yogurt money. What else is Cam Newton pushing?
Okay. Greek yogurt money.
Remember that commercial with Greg Olson?
I do. I wonder if he just got a lifetime supply of Greek. What would you take? Would you take a boatload of money or a lifetime supply of Greek yogurt?
I hate Greek yogurt. Greek yogurt. Okay, give me the money.
I'm gonna go with the money. Yeah.
Yeah, I hate Greek yogurt.
I'm on the fence. It depends. What, do you know what brand it was?
It was the it ends in OS. I want to say. Here we go.
I don't care.
Cam. Okay. Oh, you don't? Okay, I thought you were like
no,
really
no, I,
in on
I
the Greek
care,
yogurt,
but like I kind of care.
Cam Newton Greek yogurt. Who does it? Who is it? Pop that into the old Google machine. It's Dannon's sub brand Oikos.
Oh no.
No. That doesn't even seem like real Greek yogurt.
Nope.
That's just like the
like the money.
Yeah. Take it on. But, a couple commercials, he threw Greg Olson some money. Like, hey, Greg, you don't get a lot of endorsement deals, do you? He's like, no.
Not at all.
It's like, because you just
got like car dealerships, like greater Charlotte area car dealerships or whatever. I'm sure he's doing okay.
Bad, bad radio commercials for local.
Hi. I'm Greg Olson.
Yeah, there's a Jake Arena's doing one. It's making the rounds in Chicago. That sounds just.
The State Farm one or the.
The State Farm
terrible, one. Yeah, I am Jake from the Cubs. You want to call Jake from State Farm for insurance. I do fastballs.
No, I'm not wearing khakis.
right? Like, and that's like the best take. That's the best thing I love about those. Is that, and of course, you know, radio production and voiceover production, all that sort of stuff, is that when you hear the really awful one, that was the best. Like, yes. That would like they were like an hour later, we're like, all right, that's fine. Yeah, you can go. It's fine.
Like yeah, okay, done. Guys, which worked better for you? Take 35 or take 64?
Like, when it's like, I am not wearing khakis. Like, that was, they were like, all right, yeah, that'll do it, Jake. Thanks.
Thanks. But I was like, all right, cool. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Got to go. Yeah, that always gets me down when because when you're in with an editor and a producer, they'll usually mark the takes. They'll just come in on the microphone, so it's there on the audio thing. So I'll be like, take 32. And I'm always up. I always feel bad when we get into like the teens. Like sometimes I'll stumble over a word or I can't get stuff right.
And you just know, they're like,
and the way they say it, like I try to read way too much into how they say it. They're like, take 32. I'm like, wait, how did you say that?
Uh-oh, you really hung on that 32 then.
Yeah, like you really kind of went 32. Down to take 32. Like, oh, God, come on.
Like, if they breathe before, take 32.
Yeah, I haven't heard that yet. They just have good bedside manner.
Yeah.
But this is like have you ever seen the Michael Jordan video where they're trying to get him to do the Is It in You from the Gatorade stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And they're like, Gatorade, is it in you? They're like, no, Mike. Mike,
in you.
Is it in you? Gatorade, is it in you? No, Mike. Is it in you? Gatorade, is it in you? No, Mike. You just kind of, okay, well.
That's good enough, yeah.
Yeah, here it is. Okay, we'll go for, it was like, it's like 3 minutes of him trying to do it right. And then there's the other one where Floyd Mayweather definitely can't read, which is funny.
I'm sure the lifetime of being punched in the head is probably not helping.
It definitely helps. It helps it out a lot. But they hand him copy, and he just doesn't know what to do with it. Can't read it at all. Cam Newton, pay your debts. What are they suing him for? What's the final number? They want $270,000 from him. Yeah, because apparently it took 2 months. Popery says home repairs took more than 2 months to complete. Damn!
That's a lot of damage. Nobody ever invites me to parties where we do that much damage. You know, I would love to just want, like, I walk in and they're like, dude, whatever you want to do to this house, I don't care.
Just
like,
do it, man. Demo party, baby.
Yeah, you want to kick that wall in? I don't give a shit. Like,
you know what? That's what these a-holes that are just buying up depressed properties to flip them, to break them down and flip the property. That's what they should do. They should invite people over for a demo party. You get a couple kegs of beer, you know, some liquor, and you just go, hey, guys. Safety goggles, sign this release, go get drunk and have at it. Have fun. Because we're tearing this bitch down anyway.
Yeah, like keep the phones at the door. Like I would always do that. Like, you know, hey, you're coming to my house, we leave the phones alone. I don't want anybody, you know, I don't need any Snapchats of this or whatever. And then we're just gonna go to town. Like, let's do this.
Yeah. Wait, are we tearing down a house or having an orgy? Which one is it?
Well, you know, things happen, man.
Like, well, orgy first, then tearing down the house.
Is that the way you would go?
I think so. Because, you know, you tear down the house.
Wait, are you going to want to do anything more after the orgy? I feel like you're going to be exhausted.
That's true. But after tearing down...
Having never been in an orgy, I don't know how exhausted you get, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't seem like a lot of work because you got a lot of people, you know, everybody's kind of helping hands.
It's a lot for your head to process, so I'm sure you kind of want to just take a breather afterwards. So
right.
I would more get... You know, I think, like... As you're tearing down the house, you know, you'll start being like, yeah, this is... okay.
All right, I'm feeling kind of aroused right now.
Yeah, right. And then, you know...
Orgy time. I was worried that, you know, there might be a lot of exposed nails, asbestos, you know, I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. So 2 months to complete. So he wants Cam to fork over an additional $180,000 in lost rent, which is actually not that unreasonable a request, totaling $270,324.47. I don't know why it was that exact. Do I really need to know that they want that extra 47 damn cents from Cam Newton plus legal fees? So Cam Newton, pay your damn bills, buddy. What's wrong with you? Once you get out of the concussion protocol,
was
pay
he
your
in
bills.
The concussion protocol when this was happening? No, right?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
Unless he was like flying to Charlotte for games and then flying back to Beverly Hills. All right, see you guys. Heading home. Like, Cam, we got practice tomorrow, dude. Like, oh man. All right, well, I'll fly back for that. Yeah, Cam Newton, not enough of it to be like, oh, Cam Newton's a dick, but come on, man. What are you doing? That's where we'll wrap it up. Rich, you were excited for some playoff baseball?
Oh, absolutely. Can't wait. Yeah, we got
Joey Bats.
A bunch of good stuff. All the series are pretty cool. Like, maybe I'll ask you to make your stone cold lock prediction.
Oh, jeez. Listen, I already predicted the freaking the Panthers at 12-4. All right, you're not getting me again. I'm not going down this road. Do you think Cleveland has the pitching?
They don't. I don't think they do.
Yeah, no, right?
But they've been making it work all year, so I don't know.
Yeah. Does Texas have the arms? Do they have the arms? How's Yu Darvish doing?
They're doing pretty well. Texas is my kind of sleeper there because they win a lot of those one-run games. And, like, yeah. That's the thing that's happened all year. And, like, that's good. You want that. Like, that's good. Like, yeah, that means you got you're lucky. But that's fine. Yeah, I don't know.
How's the Boston rotation breaking down? No, you know what?
They're not very deep.
Yeah, but those top three, though. Although, is Steven Wright going to be your number three starter?
He's hurt, I thought.
Oh.
I think his shoulder hurts, which sucks, because it's like, oh.
Oh, the knuckleballer in the playoffs.
Right, like, that's why we have you, so you don't get hurt. Like,
mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I think I'm going to go Texas Cubbies.
Okay, that's your
I think that's going to be the World Series matchup.
Pardon me, it is an odd year. It is an odd-numbered year, so you can't discount the Giants.
Oh, that's right.
Even
years.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you know, they got, you know, if Bumgarner and Jeff Samardzija is that wild card there. Pretty much know what you're going to get from Bumgarner. But if you get a Jeff Samardzija game where he's really got that sinker ball going, that's coming in there, like, whatever, 92, 93, whatever he's got, and he's got a nice slider, I think. No, I gotta
give. I like your Texas Cubs picks, though. I think that's what I'd go with, though, ultimately.
Yeah,
and then who wins? I don't know.
I don't know, because it's a 7-game series. Yeah. And how I predicted the other 5 and 7-game series, don't ask me that. It's not an exact science, no matter how much those eggheads want it to be with your Pacoda and your whatever else system.
Well, let me go look at the baseball here. That was a funny thing. I remember people always got really upset about the Baseball Prospectus playoff odds.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, teams would make the playoffs and it would say, like, 99.9, and they're like, oh, they still don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. Right. Like,
I remember their system loved the Indians earlier this year, and I was laughing at them for it.
Yeah.
Pacoda pants me on that one.
All right, let's see here, because this is always...
I think the rule is I should just never make predictions, because I'm basically always wrong.
Yeah, I'm not great.
Trevor Siemian, I was like, this guy sucks.
Well, no, Trevor Siemian sucks.
Hey, he threw four touchdown passes.
I know.
Paxton Lynch, maybe. It's all right. He's throwing lame ducks up there, though. I was watching that game on Game Pass, which, by the way, people, if you want to sound like a, if you want to be able to watch all NFL games like an hour or the day after they happen, and if you like want to, if you do a sports podcast or you talk a lot of sports with your friends, you want to be able to know NFL stuff like you hear NFL experts in media, get NFL Game Pass. It's $99 and you get every single game, coaches film, condensed games. It's great. I totally recommend it.
Okay. The algorithm has been changed and now every team that's in the playoffs is 100%. So. I do remember there was a time, like, in the early days of, like, Baseball Prospectus where, like, the algorithm was kind of weird. And it, like, it would, like, some teams that were in the playoffs, it was, like, 98.9 or whatever.
People right.
Like, oh, they still don't know that these idiots at Baseball Prospectus that obviously just guess. And it's, like, it's like a computer that just spits it out. Like,
they're not in there playing favorites or doing whatever it is.
I'm going to say the Red Sox are good. And you saw, so that's funny. But okay.
Yeah.
I like Texas and Cubs as well. But
Texas Cubbies?
Neither one of them. They'll both be swept in the first round. And
then we'll have to come back and be like, oh, well, we were wrong. But that'll be next time on the KMP Show. Thank you for checking out this episode. Be sure to follow the show at KANDP Show on Twitter. You can follow me at John's Voices. Be sure to check out voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon, voicesofwrestling.com/SeatGeek for all of your ticket needs. Go to Dollar Shave Club. Rich, what's the URL on SeatGeek or Dollar Shave Club?
The Dollar Shave Club is voicesofwrestling.com or dollarshaveclub.com/voices.
Dollarshaveclub.com/voices.
You get a free month. You sign up, you get a free month, absolutely free. No commitment, no hidden fees, none of that other good stuff. Cancel whenever you want. I use it. I love it. And there's really no reason not to. It's free.
Yeah,
month.
Get rid of your neck hair.
Right. What are you doing?
I've been thinking about switching to blades, man, because my electric does not get the stuff on my neck as well as I want it to be. I'm like,
oh, I get the bumps. I get the bumps in the electric. So, yeah, I can't do that. So, I do dollarshaveclub.com/voices. I've been using it right now. And
there you go.
It's not just for the lady who uses it as well. Michelle shaves her legs with it. So, it's not just the men.
You know? There you go. And if you, the Dollar Shave Club member, get a little adventurous, you don't know, maybe you can get a really close shave in your, in the bikini area. You know?
I have no idea. Please, I don't know what
you're talking about. Balls, shaving your balls.
So. Oh, okay. I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, if you want to
shave your balls, yeah.
Yeah, balls. I like to
say. I don't know if they recommend that. I'll have to look at the
I would the never take sent. I would never be the guy to take a razor blade to my nuts.
Yeah, that seems too dangerous.
Like even though
it's going to like then that cut is just going to hurt. You know what I mean? God. Like yeah, and you're going to know how dumb you were. Like you're going to sit down and just be like, "Oh man,
like oh god.
How stupid was I? Why did I do
that? Like I'm not a porn star. I don't need to do this. It doesn't matter." Yeah, they're just as sweaty without hair.
Yeah,
they get
right,
just as sweaty without hair, guys. Trust me, it doesn't matter a goddamn whether you're bare or you got a lot down there. It doesn't change a damn thing. So dollarshaveclub.com/voices. Be sure to check out all the other great podcasts on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network at voiceofwrestling.com. And check out, subscribe to the show at kandpshow.com. If you're listening, you want to check out the rest of our archives, go to kandpshow.com. That's where you can find them. For Rich, I'm John Playtech. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you next time. We are out. Bye.